Good morning. As always, it's good to see you, and especially those that are visiting. We have a good number that are visiting today, and we thank you for your presence. I can't help but mention the Finneys, who I know their granddaughter from Albuquerque, and had the pleasure and the history that goes with your family. I just admire. And so we're glad you're here. Glad you can be with us. This morning, as we begin to discuss, I being who I am, and all of you people who are visiting need to understand, I don't think like other people. And so consequently, we're going to discuss the box today. And to begin that, I want to begin with Job. And this is at the end of Job, okay, after he's been taught his lessons, when he's almost said something he should not have said, and then he gets asked a number of questions of which he's very wisely does not answer, and then he says this. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. You ever thought you knew something? Only to find out that you didn't know quite so much as what you thought you did. Well, for people who talk a lot like I do, that happens more than once, okay? And so you find out that you said something you shouldn't have said and that you didn't. And so there's that sense of things in which Job probably is the epitome of it. One who is what God would have him be, to the point that he would brag on Job, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, of course, the only reason he's good is because you bless him so much. And they start taking away things, and he doesn't understand, and I get it. The real argument in Job is over the fact that if you are rich and wealthy, obviously God is with you, and that if you're not, God is not. So his friends come and try to convince him of that. What did you do to cause you to lose your relationship with God? Because you were one of God's favorites and now you're not. And as they work through that, Job realizes that I haven't done the thing that they've accused me of, but at the same time, why did this happen? Good question. And so there comes this point where he is taught some things. How many things he doesn't know is pointed out to him. and then he makes this statement. And I want you to consider the idea of starting over. And the sense of, I want to start over. There's a place that I feel like I've not become what I should be. Charles Jarrett and I were watching a YouTube video on how to build a sled for a table saw. And they go through it and show all the details and whatever goes on. And during the time that he's doing that, we noticed a couple places where, you might have made a mistake in that stage. And then at the end of the video, he makes the statement, the guy that was holding the was doing the teaching, he says, if you have this at the end, start over. And that was the big, I did miss something, okay? And so we have that. We have New Year's resolutions. There's the idea of starting over. We have a number of times when we have that sort of thing, that it is a time when I come and reflect, and upon that reflection I've decided I need to do something. I need to change something. I need to be better than I've been at something. And so then, when that happens, I want you to consider the empty box. And I'm going to ask you, what do you put in your box? And I say that to every one of us individually. What is in your box? And your box is going to include a number of things, okay? It may be that I want to make a significant change in something, as we've been talking about. I want to be a better husband, or I want to be a better father, a better employee. I want to have better intentions. I want to be more compassionate. I want of the things that I would like to be. And I want to put that into my box because I don't have it in my box yet, and I want it. Well done, as we would say. That's great intentions. And then, do I keep the things that matter in my box? Do I keep the stuff that I care about and love? Do I keep them close to me? And I don't know about you, but I do. I keep the things that matter to me close to me, okay? I want to know the things that I have that I value are near. And so, I visit them. I visit them regularly. And so, what should go in the box in that way? And I want you to understand, you've got all kinds of things you can put in the box. And many times it is an intention of putting something into the box and not the thing itself. Now, you know, I might look a little bit better if I lost about 50 pounds. That might be my intention. But you people don't eat enough when you come to my house, and so I have to eat what you didn't eat, and therefore I remain as I am. That is called an excuse, okay? Excuses don't work either. But anyway, my intention might be good, but then the carry-through may not be all that it needs to be. And so I want you to understand that life goes into the box. And when we go and we think about life, then I want you to think the highway of life. And it isn't. I got this picture because it has some stuff here that matters. Life's highway isn't always paved. Life's highway doesn't always say, oh, you're going to the destination you intended. It may have a sign that says dead end on it. It may be a whole lot of things that you didn't expect, because life doesn't treat you fairly. Life is life, and it brings all sorts of things and situations that you have to deal with and understand. And now then, who am I going to be under those terms, you see? And all that stuff molds us. There's always my stuff, the things that I think that are valuable, okay? And I doubt very much that this room would look at jewelry as being their sense of stuff that really matters to me. But there's some stuff that does. That's mine. Don't touch it. Things that we're really proud of. That's been in my family for many, many years. Those kinds of things. And you know that stuff goes in the box. But then there's a sense in which, as I put all those things together and you understand what I'm saying about the stuff and all those things, I want to know, does God go in the box? Is time one of your possessions? Does it go in the box so that you can keep it close and manage it and do all the things that you want to do? Are those kinds of things in the box? Is God in the box, you see? And then if I was going to ask you, if he's in the box, where does he go in the box? Is he at the top of the box where you can get to him all the time? Or is he at the bottom of the box because you don't get there very often? Oh, I love him. He's part of my stuff. And you see my point. So I ask you the question, and it's a very real question. If you put God in the box, did you diminish him by doing so? Is God part of your possessions, in other words? You know, is he that, or is God bigger than that? And so when I think about that, all those kind of questions always come to me. What does God want? What does God want to be? Who does he want to be with me? Okay. And so Ephesians 5, 6 through 10 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And so if I'm going to say that I want to love God and that I want Him to be part of what is important to me and that is valuable to me and all the good things that I would have that way, the number one thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to a statement like this that says that I'm going to practice the things that He practices for the sake of being pleasing to Him because He matters to me. Now I know that all of you have that as an intention. But are you getting ready to go on a diet? You know, I mean, it's that kind of a thing. My wife knows that I love her. But then there's some times when she's not pleased. Let's just put it that way. And I get to know that. I get to know when she's pleased. If left to myself, is that going to be what it needs to be? That God, do you see, if you understand what I'm talking about, that I'm talking about bringing God into your life, but am I bringing Him into my life to put Him in a box? Am I trying to put Him into something that is based on what I decide should be, or the things that I agree with, and therefore it is? Is it we're going to be that kind of a relationship where He belongs to me, not I belong to Him? And when we look and think along those lines, it would make us understand something very quickly. You can't be part-time with God. I have to be full-time with God. And so, if that's the case, then what does it actually mean to unbox God? Now, I've gotten a number of new things in my time that all came in a box. And y'all know the anticipation you had. That started when you were a kid and you got presents. All that pretty paper didn't matter. Not one iota to you as a kid. Get that paper off there. Let's see what's inside. Uh-huh. And now, oh, would you look at what I just received. So, with that being the case, I want God. I want to unbox God. I want God to be with me. What is it then that is going to identify me as the one who follows God? And in cases like this, you don't get to know. I mean, I want you to really think about this. God doesn't say, attaboy. You don't hear that, you know, that my son knocks a home run. Attaboy, that's my son. When Will was playing baseball, he hit one like that, and I claimed him as mine. He's not a Taylor. He takes after the Yonses. Okay. But Jack was claiming him for Jack. I know that was the case, and so they're very proud of the fact. And then there's those times when he strikes out, which, let's do a little better. But we don't get that kind of feedback from God. We don't get that. So if you're not going to get that, how do you know you're what you ought to be before God? How do you know that you're in the attaboy place? That you are claimed in those things, okay? And I want you to see, do others see God in you? Because that's how you know. It is not based on God saying, you're mine. It is based on men saying, that man belongs to God. That's how it's going to be said. Now, do you have the identifiers that make that point? And we have the tendency to think that because we assemble, that we do. And I want to suggest to you that that's not all there is. That would be box-like, going inside the box. That I do this and I'm satisfied. No, I must be what God would have me be. And so, He is seen in you. And when I go to that, I remember Genesis 1. In the beginning, God made, right? So, in the beginning, of every action, every dream, every motive, every intention is God or not. And so, would I declare myself as one that belongs to God because I'm dedicated to the ideas that He motivates me to be who I want to be, that we would dedicate every part of myself to God? In Isaiah 64, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are our potter, and all of us are the work of your hand." Now we agree with that, that God is the one that made us. God is the one that set in motion all of those things and put you together, and all this genetic makeup that makes you is unique and it's different, and you get to be that person, and by the hand of God you've been made. And God says it is good that you've been made. Okay, and so from that though, do we dedicate ourselves? Do we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Do we do that? That all these things, what things? And that brings us to the second point of knowing that God is with you. Is what is it that is of value to me? What is in my box? What is the aspects of all that I need are the things that God gave me. And they ride higher. They're closer to the top of the box than my truck. I love my truck. It's right outside. I don't love my truck. I love God. That's my point. Is that are those things what is really of value? And you see, if we do that, you see, we do it and the sense of doing it is for the sake of the gospel. And so 1 Corinthians 9, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. And to those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I may win those who are without law." That who I am is not identified by me and my wishes and my desire and my stuff that way. No, it is about that I may be the thing that God would have me be, that I may be the influence that God would have let my influence be, that I might be thinking of other people, that I will learn how to be kind to people I disagree with. Why? For the sake of the gospel. Why will I be the person that I am? It is not that I am going to leave what I believe. What I have and believe is within me, and it is mine, and it will always be mine. But when I meet someone who doesn't agree with what I believe, what am I going to do? I am going to treat them kindly, and I am going to teach them why I believe what I believe. "To the weak I became weak, that I may be weak." Would we go that far? Would I become weak with you and understand that you struggle with stuff? That life can be a really rough road and that you're on it. And would I go be on the road with you, or am I going to condemn you for being on the road? "I've become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may be a fellow partaker of it." And to be the partaker of it is to understand that the blessings are the things that you don't hold in your hand. They are blessings that God has given and shown freely. And so when I think about this, I go back to the old days when I was growing up, and I just want to say, It's been tried. You can't scare people to heaven. You can scare them into changing their actions a little bit, but you won't scare them all the way to heaven, I don't think. We're to keep the commandments because we want to. We are to love God and our fellow man because God said so, that because it's like Him, because we honor Him, because that's what reverence is. That we are to love to serve people because doing for others makes me feel better than what I receive. And so, why? Why do I go through all of that? And it is all for the same reason as Paul, to save some. Because not everyone will come. So we live openly instead of living in our box. I don't keep my stuff in my box and keep the lid on top of it, and I don't let you know about it because it's mine. No. I share what I have. Our speech is going to be what it should be. Our habits are not from the norm of the society, but according to the norm of God. Our entertainment is wholesome. Our standards are prudent. We stand against sin. And our focus is for love. You see, I think we got out of balance somewhere, that we got into the law as the Pharisees knew the law. They know the law, but they've missed the meaning of it. And God doesn't know them anymore. He changes the covenant because of those kinds of things. God's word is what saves, and we need to recognize that. And so, why are we doing all this? For the sake of the gospel. And so, that's the way it's going to be. And people, they don't see in the box. We have to show them what's in the box. We have to show them who we are. They must see the difference in you. Then they believe it can happen to me. If you have made a change from here to here, then so can I. What is it going to take? And then I can do becomes the idea of things rather than I cannot. It troubles me when we say what we can't do. I can do all things through Christ. Really? Do I believe that or do I not believe that? And so, what are we going to live for, you see? And that becomes the real point, because I want you to recognize that love is too big to go in a box. The caring for people matters. And so, I ask you this question. How do you want to be remembered? You want to be known as a good teacher, we'll say, preacher, musician, husband, wife, coach. You want to be known as being, they were good. Then we need all of those good things and good examples because they are noble, and it's what you want to be remembered for, is those good things. But do you want to be known as one who walks with God? I want you, this is a relatively long reading, but we don't generally read it all together. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet, with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ, will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who were once disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of the dirt of the flesh, but an appeal for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. So who do I want to be? Well, I want to be like God. I want to be like Jesus. And if I'm going to be like Jesus, then I need to understand very clearly that there is going to be some troubled times. It is not going to be easy, and it's not going to be the way I would want it to be. It's going to probably be something other than that. All right, I think that what I want to say is this. Jesus is not a safety net. Do you understand what I mean by that? We have tightrope walkers and they put a net down below them that just in case they miss. Or a trapeze artist and we put a net down below them just in case they miss and then they don't die over it. Jesus isn't a safety net. He's there when I fail or when I fall, but he's much more than that. He is a security blanket. You see, that should I die, I still win. The sense of giving everything, that I want to be all that he was, I want to be all that he is. You see, I can't just give my bad habits to God. And now I'm moral and I'm good because I don't have my bad habits. No, I'm sorry, that's not enough. You see, you can't just give your sin to God. Okay, my sins, okay, they're against me. And so now I give my sins to God and now I'm clean. But you see, you're not, because you're not with God. You must give all that you have to God. And so I heard it said one time that I came to God and I gave my intentions to God and I desired to be a better person. And in all the roles that I was to become, I wanted to be energetic and happy with good influence and every other positive thing as an example to other people. I want to be that because I want to, and I come to God for that. Then I understood I had to give up my sinful ways and I put them on the altar. And it was better if, but it was not all that I needed to do. I found that I need to lay my ambition on the altar as well, and I found that I could be happy without all the identifiers of what this world needs to consider me a success. Then I found out I needed to lay down my pride, and I saw the things I've accomplished as being gifts from God and not so much my great effort. I recognized easily my need to lay aside the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Putting them on the altar was harder than I thought it would be. And as I aged, I did a better job of recognizing the giving of self-oriented things had a more positive effect than the gaining of the possessions of the world. And then I found I'd not given it all. I put all the things my young thinking had felt worthy, but my maturity found lacking. I even put my relationships on the altar, and I knew that the last thing that must go on the altar is me. I had to give my will, and when I gave my will, I was free. Do you see the difference? This is a little game we play all the time. Do you see the difference? Little things, isn't it? Always little things. And if that was your picture on the left and on the right, would there be a difference? Have we committed completely? Is there nothing that you wouldn't hold, that you hold back from God? Have you gotten to the place where I don't hold anything back from God? And if you haven't, we still have things to give. You can go with God, or you can go against Him. And every time that we hold back, there is a leaning toward against. My conclusion on this is that God was never in the box. It's my illusion. It was skewed, the whole thing, to have an illusion that God, I have God as a possession in my box. He's not in a box because He's everywhere. And I see Him everywhere. I want to be with Him. Do you? Folks, if I have any advice that I could give anyone, it would be we need to take time and consider self. Am I what the Lord would have me be? And if you find that you are lacking, then you should do something about it as soon as you can get to it. It is not a tomorrow item. It's not a maybe. And if you're not a Christian, start. Give that little thing that is necessary, which is simply to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sin. Be baptized to tell everyone and to have your sins washed away. And then walk the walk. You'll never regret it. If we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing? Whoops.